moment to arrive. Blackbird singing in the dead of the night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment.
Karen. It's April and we are still in the year 2023, and I'm going to be continuing on with some more Wise Woman Herbal. And we finished off last time whereby we were talking about how getting cured is not the goal in the Wise Woman tradition. So outwitting death as long as possible is not the goal in the Wise Woman tradition. Dying is considered the portal to the existence of death, as birth is the portal to the existence of life. The Wise Woman celebrate all comings and all goings. Death and disease are not seen as the enemy, but instead as an ally for transformation. Problems instead become doorways of transformation. Death is not failure in the Wise Woman tradition. Death may be chosen as a gift of integration and wholeness to self, a gift of optimum nourishment and health to the family and larger community. Disintegration of family and self-respect, and the lost opportunity to strengthen community ties by care tending the dying at home, is natural when a family member is kept alive in an institution until the family's resources of money, time, and good cheer are all exhausted. As is generally the case today in industrialized nations with scientific tradition approaches to health, the Wise Woman tradition can allow death because the Wise Woman tradition is grounded in change. Fixity is worse than death. The spiral of life and death is ever-changing and unique, flowing through all possibilities. The Wise Woman tradition has no rules, no texts, no rites. It is constantly changing, constantly being reinvented. Rules make comfortable, secure boxes to hide behind when normalcy stretches its limits and the unexpected occurs. Rules are safe. Rules are logical. Rules are visible. All rules are made to be broken, says the wise woman. The only rule in the wise woman tradition is that there are no rules. Repetition is neither sought nor valued. All possible treatments, from meditation to surgery, are used in the wise woman tradition. For each unique problem has a unique need and a unique gift. Sometimes substances such as insulin or antibiotics, or techniques strongly associated with the scientific tradition, are used by the wise woman. She understands these substances and techniques as nourishments and not cures. It is not the thing done that indicates the tradition, but the thought behind the action. Standardized treatments give prompt relief in most cases and are fairly successful in curing or eliminating problems. Unique treatments, such as those the wise woman uses, nourish the healthy, whole, holy being, the community, and the planet. The validation for the individual's unique reality is one aspect of optimum nourishment in the wise woman tradition. Support for the individual's unique perspective is a trait of the wise woman. Because each being is unique, so each problem is uniquely expressed and must therefore be treated uniquely. There are no healers in the wise woman tradition. We are all healers, says the wise woman. Self-healing and self-loving, we co-create healing with our allies. Our allies are our problems. They bring us gifts of wholeness. Our allies are wise women. They support us in our transformation. Our allies are green allies, wild plants. They supply us with optimum nourishment. In the wise woman tradition, good health is flexibility, availability to transformation, and groundedness. Chaos, permeability, and nonsense are honored in the wise woman tradition, not instead of, but in addition to, honored, ordered boundaries and logic. There is no pitched battle. There are no enemies in the wise woman tradition. So how is chaos honored without losing all order, one may ask? It is said that the wise woman tradition balances all possibilities in the heart's center, the heart's truth. There are no right answers in the wise woman tradition. The right answers could be, I don't know. The right answer could be, I'll have to wait and see. The right answer is silence, wherein the heart's truth rings and health, wholeness, holiness occurs. Nourish the individual heart, says the wise woman tradition, until the nourishment and love flow out. There is abundant nourishment for every heart when we learn to receive it. That was a bit of a breakdown from the book Healing Wise by Susan Weed. And I've got about 5 more sessions of that to go. So, something to look forward to. Okay, guys, we're going to break things up for a little bit with some music. Let's have a listen to Ether by Mr. Fingers.
Green Thumb. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
I'd like to tell you just where I'm from.
Dr. Green Thumb.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
Welcome back. Hi, Namai. We are now at the Life in the Mata section. And I'm going to revisit some of the stuff I put together when working with Selena on Garden Planet regarding our autumn gardening. I'm pretty sure I cover this one. I've covered it a few times now because for me it is such an important one. The seasons have changed, it's getting cooler, and this is the time to start really thinking about what you're going to get up to in your garden if you want to get up to something. So if you're listening to this live, it's the 22nd, the new moon hit on the 20th. So this is an ideal opportunity for getting things growing because you've got that strong gravitational pull of the moon. You've got the light starting to grow. You've got 11 days of prolific growth for above ground crops at this time. The high sap run produces strong growth, and the high sap run is a result of that gravitational pull, so it's ideal for, especially for above ground crops. Root crops, not so much. They tend to go to seed more at this time because it's just too much pull, and they just sort of, it's almost like they get a bit too excited, and it's sort of, yeah, they go to seed. Ideal time for liquid fertilizing because of all that growth, you're going to need to provide that sustenance for the plants. Use a fish or seaweed emulsion, that's great, or anything you can find, but those are my faves. Mulch. Mulching is a good thing to do at this time of the year. Mulch, my friends, is a gardener's best friend. It helps the soil hold in moisture, so you don't have to water it as often. And it also keeps down weeds. And over time, the mulch will break down into your soil and improve it by adding nutrients. And I reckon, and don't quote me on this, but this is just one of Karen's theories, gardening theories, is that I think a layer of mulch at this time of the year, given all that growth that's to come, almost adds a bit of warmth. It's like having a duvet over the top of the soil. And then, of course, when you've got everything, all the microbes and that breaking everything down, that creates a warmth as well. Just my personal theory. Scientists out there, biologists, horticulturalists, feel free to flick me an email if you can extend on that or correct me. Awesome. So the next thing that I was going to remind you to do at this time of the year is in regards to fruit trees. Autumn is the perfect time of the year for planting and or pruning fruit trees. Fruit trees are a great tree to consider planting in your yard, especially if you've got the space, and especially the further south you head in New Zealand. The climate and conditions are ideal, so I would highly recommend going for that. Think about that. And lastly, another thing you could be thinking of doing right now, being autumn, is getting your bulbs in the soil so that come spring, you have some lovely spring plants to look at. You can plant them either in the ground or in pots, whatever suits you. Give it a go. They're a bit of fun. It's always a pleasant surprise come spring when they pop up out of the ground. Just makes spring even more special. So that's it for autumn gardening. Nice, short and sweet. Didn't want to overload you with too much info. And hope some of that made sense for you. And hopefully you'll find some time and inspiration to get out there. Well worth it. Okay, guys. Well, guess what? It's time for a bit of music. Have no idea what I'm going to play at this point in time. But I promise you, I will let you know what it was I did play, the name of the track and that, upon completion of the track. Enjoy, whatever the track may be. Hee-hee! Woo!
to a little white dove.
Power of Love by Huey Lewis in the News. Oldie but a goodie. There seems to be a bit of an 80s revival going on in my house. So, you know what? We'll listen to anything. 80s, 90s, 2020. Heck, I even enjoy music from the 1800s. How about? Whoop, whoop. So, gonna leave you guys with some thoughts. Feel like that's probably a great way to end the show. Just with all the craziness going on in the world at the moment, I always feel like I'm saying that. I feel like I've said that my entire life, but I think things are really starting to sway right now. Kind of makes me feel like we're living in a godless society. So here's something from Twitter that I found and I wanted to share. In a godless world, all things are permissible. There is no concept of good versus evil. In a godless world, there is no sin, no judgment. Everything just is. A godless world is a world where there is no concept of God. only humanity. There is no focus on anything external to this world or an afterlife. There is no glory forever. So think about that. So that's it for Kōrero with Karen today. Check in next month for some more thought-provoking content, fabulous music, a fabulous host. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, really. So modest. Ka kite, everyone. Take care, and God bless.
Been listening to Kōrero with Karen. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to tune in to Planet FM at 104.6 every fourth Wednesday at 10 past 2 in the afternoon. Or check it out anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/Kōrero with Karen. That's Karen with a Y. Ka kite anō ehoa.